Thank Brother Zane for leading that song. I requested that he would lead that for us this afternoon. And part of that being is I want to preach on walls. And we'll get to the walls of Jericho later on in the study. But, you know, most places that we go, we have walls around us. Whether it be at home or where we work at or the grocery store, wherever it may be, we've got walls. Now, I don't suppose anybody really thinks, well, why do we have walls? I mean, it's kind of common sense. We've got walls to protect us. These walls are here to protect us from the elements. They protect us from the rain, snow, sleet, sun, the wind, especially up here. We get that a lot. But let's take our houses, for example. Our houses have exterior walls. And we use them, we have those up at our house for the same reasons, to protect us from things. But inside those exterior walls, we have interior walls. The interior walls usually divide up rooms in our house. You know, we've got our living room, we've got our kitchen, or sometimes kitchen and dining room are the same thing. Like ours, it's right off the kitchen. But you separate your bathrooms, utility room, your garage. That's what these interior walls are for. Now, why don't we just have one big room instead of all these walls? Well, we want our privacy. You know, we don't want everybody knowing our business. We want to keep the things, you know, separated, because I don't want somebody walking in my front door and see me across the house asleep in bed. You know, I want my walls divided. I don't want people to be able to see that. And I suppose that everyone's probably the same way. But let's apply these walls to our everyday lives. And what I mean by that is we tend to consciously or subconsciously put up walls in our lives. And that's to protect ourselves, is to protect our privacy. We don't want everybody knowing our business. And to an extent, that's a good thing. But there are some times where that could be a problem. When you think about it, you have aspects of your life that most people, or a lot of people, know about. But you have aspects of your life that you don't want people to know about. Like I said, you want them private. But you take that and you apply, I'm getting lost here, apply that to your house again. You have a stranger come up to your house and they knock on the door. Are you going to let them in your house? Probably not. Most of us, if it's a stranger, we're either going to not answer it because we don't know who they are, or we're going to step outside and have a conversation out on the front porch because we don't know who they are. We don't know what their agenda is. We don't want them in our house. Now, if you have a friend come to your house and they knock on the door, you see who it is, well, you're going to let them in. More than likely, you're going to come in, you're going to sit down, you're going to have a conversation, you're going to visit for a while. But even then, they probably don't get past your living room or your kitchen, dining room. A lot of times, you know, they don't go roaming around your house because you have private areas. Let's just say your bedroom. That's probably one of the more private places in your house. You don't let anybody in your bedroom. You know, you might let some close friends that you're comfortable with, or, you know, family members come in through your bedroom. But that's because they're close to you and you trust them, and, you know, you trust that they're not going to do anything. But if you're like most people, you keep doors closed. If you walk into our house any given day, even if we're home, most of the doors in our house are closed. And part of that could be, well, somebody comes over, we don't want them in other rooms, or some of it's just because air conditioning and the rooms stay cooler that way. I don't know. Or sometimes it's just a mess. We don't want people looking in there. That's just how it is. But my point is, you don't just let anyone beyond certain walls of your house. But are you like that in your daily lives too? Do we put up walls to keep people out? To keep emotions out? To keep emotions inside? To hide things? I would say that we do. Now I'd like to take just a little bit of time and talk about that a bit and look at some of the principles from the Bible to help bring those walls down and to prevent them from coming back. So why do we put up walls? Well, one reason is so we don't have to deal with it. You put up a wall so you don't have to confront or admit that there's a problem, and you just ignore the situation. You know, someone upsets you, you don't want to confront them about it because you don't want there to be hard feelings, or you think it's not going to do any good. So instead, you stew over it. You get upset, you build a wall between you and that person or situation. You ever get like that? Do you ever get in that mode of denial of, this can't be right. That can't be right. This can't be happening to me. I think we've all been there before. We want to deny that something's happening because it can't be real, because it can't be happening to us, but indeed it does happen to us. But you know what happens when we put up that wall of denial? We get smacked in the face with reality, and it hits hard. It hits real hard. But that's one of the reasons why we put up walls, because we don't want to deal with things. We just want to, it's over there, and that's fine. Which leads me to my next point. We're out of sight and out of mind. It's like closing the door in your bedroom because it's messy. You shut the door because there's a mess. It's out of sight. It's out of mind. I don't have to deal with it. Well, how often do you do that with things in your life? You put up this wall and you hang a door right in the middle of the wall so you can peek in every now and then just to see if anything has gotten any better. You know, we tend to put up these types of walls with our emotions. We put up a wall. We put that door in there. We put walls for we've got a room. We just keep our emotions right there. That's where they stay, because that's where they're supposed to be. Well, men, we tend to close that door and lose the key. We just shut the door and the key's off in the pond somewhere and we can't find it on purpose. And then one day, you're going along, having a good day. Something happens. It brings up a memory. It brings up an emotion. Or you're like me. You're sitting at home and you're watching a Disney movie with your kids. Having a good time. And then, boom, that door opens and those emotions come flooding out. Where did that come from? Tears come down and you just lose it. And then what do? You take and you slam that door, you shut it, you lock it, you put a deadbolt on it, and you lose the key again. Is that the way to deal with our emotions? Now ladies, you're just a little bit different than that. You tend to always have your key, you don't lose it. Maybe you do every now and then, but if you do, you've got a spare key in your pocket. You can take it out, open that door anytime you want. Let those emotions out, then put them back in, and let them back out, and then put them back in. That's kind of how the difference is between ladies and men. That's kind of how we're hardwired. Now, I'm not saying that these walls are bad. I mean, we've got to have walls to keep those emotions. You know, we have the walls. If we don't have them, our emotions will be all over the place. We'll be a mess. And we look at Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Well, we need to have control of our emotions. But that doesn't mean we should keep them locked up all the time or let them out all the time. You know, there's got to be an emotional balance there. Another reason why we put up walls is We want to keep things hidden. We've got secrets. I got secrets I don't want to tell you. I want to keep a wall up so that you don't know them, put them in a room so you can't find them. That's what we do. And when it comes to things we want to keep hidden, we don't just put up a wall like this. We don't put up sheetrock. We may not even put up solid wood. We want to put up solid steel walls so you can't get through them. You're going to have a plasma torch to cut through it. That's just what we do because we don't want you in those walls. We don't want you to see what our deepest sin is or what we feel is our deepest sin or our deepest secret. So what's the one thing or things you have stashed back in a safe in your mind and you don't let anyone into? That exact one that you're thinking about right now is the one I'm talking about. We put up these walls because we don't want anyone else knowing about it, and we think we can handle the sin or whatever it may be on our own, and we don't need anyone's help, and we think we don't need God's help. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. How many times have you heard this verse? Or even sang the song? Probably way too many to count, right? How often do we do what it says? Do we always go to Him with our problems, or do we keep these walls up, thinking we can handle it ourselves, but we can't? Handling things ourselves never works out in our favor. Now, I haven't gotten to a real exhaustive list of different walls we can put up, and we can really break this down and get in depth with it, but mentioning a lot of the things that I feel like a lot that we all struggle with. You know, we have these walls that we try to keep up so we won't let people inside. But let's look at the effect these walls have. You know, by putting these walls up, we can in fact push others away, even God. You know, these walls can ruin relationships and friendships, and even break up marriages. You know, if I don't open up to my wife, we're going to eventually grow further and further apart, because by putting up this wall, I break down communication. If I break down communication with her, don't respond to when she's talking to me, well, then what's going to happen? She's going to stop talking to me. She's going to find somebody else to talk to, maybe. You know, maybe a close friend or something. And that wall is going to get thicker, and we're going to grow further and further apart. We just will. I mean, you can do research on it if you want to, but that's what happens. That's how divorce happens. So we got to keep these, you know, we can't have these walls up because it can ruin things. It can ruin, like I said, relationships and friendships and marriages. You know, the Bible tells us that we should bear one another's burdens. We should help each other in times of need or distress. We see that in Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 10. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. You know, the thing is, it's difficult for us to do this if we don't let walls down to let others in. How are we supposed to bear one another's burdens when there's a wall between us? It's like driving down the street and looking at a house. You see the exterior wall and it's beautiful. It looks great. But what's beyond that wall? You assume that it looks as nice as it does on the outside, but is it really that nice on the inside? You apply that to our lives, and, you know, we can look great on the outside. I can put up a good exterior look, put on some nice clothes and do my hair up, shave, and look nice. But what's inside? What's in here that I'm not letting you see? Is it regret? Is it pain and hurt and anxiety? It could be, because I won't let you in that wall. I won't break down that wall to let you see it. We've got to trust our brothers and sisters in Christ and let them in those exterior walls so that we can bear one another's burdens. I got to break down that exterior wall so that if I'm having a problem, I can come to one of y'all and say, look, this has been really bothering me and I need some help. Brother Garland, where do I go? What can I do? I've prayed about it. I've prayed and I've tried to handle on my own. I need some help. Got to break down that exterior wall. Now that brings us to the next point. How do we tear down and prevent walls? Oops, I guess I skipped a few, didn't I? We confront the problem as soon as possible. We notice there's a problem. You know, obviously if you get upset and you're angry, it's probably a good idea to take a step back, take a moment, calm down, and then confront it. But as soon as you have your emotions under control and are able to confront it, you need to confront it. If you've put up a wall between you and someone else, then go talk to them about it. Jesus tells us in Matthew 18, verse 15 through 17, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Jesus tells us exactly how to handle the problem. Exactly how to handle a problem that we might have with someone else. We go talk to them and try to work it out. You know, if you're the one in fault, go ask forgiveness. Colossians chapter 3 verse 13 says it's forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Go talk things over. Work it out so you can forgive one another. Another way to tear down a wall and prevent them from coming back is pray about it. Now this has to be the very most important thing that you can do in any situation. It doesn't matter what wall you have up. Pray about it. Ask the Lord's guidance and He will never lead you astray. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's another one of those verses that we've heard over and over again. If you want to see walls come down in your life, pray. 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 And pray again every day. I promise you'll notice a difference. Now to kind of wrap things up, I want to just discuss for a little bit, a brief moment about the walls of Jericho. I'm not going to get in real depth with this because that's a whole lesson within itself. The people of Israel had just crossed over the Jordan River into the land of Canaan. This was the land of milk and honey God had promised to Abram over 500 years earlier. Now they had just spent 40 years wandering in the desert of Sinai, and they were now on the eastern banks of the Jordan. Now they're faced with taking the land of Canaan, the promised land. However, the first obstacle was the city of Jericho, an unconquerable walled city. Now these walls were huge. This picture gives us a little bit, you know, a pretty good idea of how big these walls were. I don't know how, I think you can see that pretty well. But you've got down here at the bottom, you've got a retaining wall that's 12 foot tall. And then on top of that, a mud brick wall that's 20 feet tall and it's 6 feet thick. And then beyond that, you have another mud brick wall that's 20 foot tall and it's 6 foot deep, or 6 foot thick. Now, I'm not quite 6 foot tall. My wife tells me I'm 5'9", so I guess I'm 5'9". But that wall is thicker than I am tall. That's a pretty thick wall. I don't know that I've ever seen a wall that thick. But it was virtually impenetrable. Now let's read in Joshua 6, 1 through 5. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend upon every man straight before him. So the Lord basically tells Joshua, look, I've already given you Jericho, and here's how you're going to do it. Have your men march around the city once a day for 6 days, and on the 7th day, march around 7 times. The priests will blow their trumpets, and when you hear the long blast, all the people will shout with a great shout, and the city shall fall. That's not strategic. That don't make sense. That's not how a city falls. Any sensible person can tell you that. Lord, that won't work. You ever thought that before? You ever prayed about something and then maybe had something set in front of you that really was the answer to your prayer, but you thought, that ain't going to work. That can't be right. I think we all have those doubts. But if you continue to read this chapter, you'll see that Joshua did exactly what the Lord told him to do, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. 20-foot-tall, 6-foot-thick walls came tumbling down. Do you think that God can't bring a wall down in your life? We discussed, you saw the picture, how big those walls were. We talked about how they're thicker than I am tall. And you think he can't bring a wall down in your life? I think you're wrong. What walls do you have up today that you haven't been able to take down? Do you think are impenetrable and you never let anyone in? Walls that keep you from being the Christian that God has called you to be. Brothers, sisters, do some of these walls sound familiar? You've entrusted the Lord with your life, but yet you continue to put up walls and trust yourself more than you trust the Lord. It's not right, folks. And it's time to make it right. It's time to get right with the Lord again.